Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, and there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. 800-531-3815, toll-free, coast-to-coast. Wally Buck is our guest, as I promised you. Wally is our
I believe this is going
friend.
To be our finest hour, Jim.
I believe so, too, Wally Buck, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What's the Big Idea? And the outstanding electronic publication, Monday Memo, which you can find at moneymemo.net. Wally, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, good.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, being a small business owner, it's a dream come true for me.
I'll tell you what, it's been a dream come true for me for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I would not do it any other way.
You've been doing this a long time, and I haven't been doing it for 30 years. I've been doing it for quite a while, but...
Well, I got fired before you did.
Well, that's an interesting point. That's probably true. Yeah. I did a good job. I was a good employee for 20 something years.
I'll tell you, my small business experience was very much like my Marine Corps experience. As long as they left me alone to go out and wander around in the woods and wear my little floppy hat, I was just fine and I produced great results. But when I had to dress up like all the other little boys and girls and face in the same direction.
When you had to dress and cover, you didn't care for that much, did you?
Oh, no. Mrs. Box little boy just kept getting into trouble. So, Jim, what have you noticed out there in small business land? Don't wait, hold it. I know what it is. When we were talking about what to talk about today, I think there are some nice new niches happening out there, and I think there are some lessons from it.
Isn't that really the key for small business to think niche?
It's not so much the niche, but the specialization, and niche is part of that. The deal is, if you got Goliath out there, this is particularly true for the guys that are competing with the Walmarts and the Home Depots.
Mm-hmm.
You don't compete with Goliath by dressing up like Goliath, putting on Goliath armor, picking the same weapons that Goliath picks,
right,
and going head-to-head with the fellow. You do what David did. You get Little Rock, which usually, by the way, is your sales force. You know, fire it into the clown's head. You come up behind him with a baseball bat. That's Brooklyn style. But you don't walk out there and say, "Say, Mr. Giant, let's fight." That's a bad move.
That's right.
That's a bad move. But what's happening is, because the big guys have taken over certain areas, you're starting to see smaller folks get a shot. And I'm gonna give you two places that I've seen it. One of them is printing. We're now starting to see printers, small printers, who are adding old hot type capability.
All right, now explain for those who might not know what hot type is.
Those of you who think that printing is the stuff that you've been seeing for the past 20 years, in the old days, folks used to actually make an impression on the paper that they did.
Tell us why type,
which was cast.
It was actually molten metal that was poured into literally the machine. Created the type by pouring it out, didn't it?
That's pretty much how
lines
it
of type that was actually molten, started out in molten form, became a line of type, and when it cooled it hardened, and it literally, as you say, made an impression on the paper.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that is that
I actually remember seeing that happen. I never did do it myself, but I actually remember seeing a printer go into a printer's business and buying printing from them, and they would actually... Those machines are pretty cool.
Those machines are pretty cool, but they're not around much anymore.
Yeah. That's right.
With me here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Mr. Phone just did a bad thing, so... The reason they're not around anymore is because they got driven out by smaller, faster, cooler, what are called lithographic prints. you don't need to know much about, but mm-hmm. you couldn't have postal instant press or Speedy or any of those things without mm-hmm. that particular type. Now, the deal here is that because it's rare and because it creates a particular impression, it also creates a market.
It also speaks to something that we all look forward to, that most of us think about from time to time in different parts of our life, and that's nostalgia.
And nostalgia is important. In this mm-hmm. particular case, I think it's more the impression thing. Because I was talking to Kathy, who runs the printing place over here, and what she says is they went into it because there is a market in their corporate stuff and in their special invitations, the weddings and museum openings and things like that.
It's not the only thing that they do with regard to only way they print, but it is one of the ways. And I want you to talk to us about that when we come back after these messages. Stay with us, folks. 22. We'll be right back with Wally Bach. We're back. 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Beth Westbrook is going to join us. And Beth is a new friend. And she's organized an event called St. Baldrick's Day. And this is where she's raising money for pediatric cancer research. And we're going to give her some time in the next hour to tell us a little bit about that worthy cause. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with our good friend Brad Huskin. He's going to talk to us about making sure that we put our best foot forward with our customers, and that's coming up in the next hour. Wally Bach is our guest. You can find Wally at mondaymemo.net. Be sure to put the net on the end there. His book is called What's the Big Idea? Wally, can they get your book at mondaymemo.net?
When they hit mondaymemo.net, they will see a link to the book page, and they can go there and purchase thousands for their friends, family, people that they want to impress. Gosh, it's... The possibilities of electronic commerce just stun me sometimes.
Can they also get it at Amazon?
They cannot get it at Amazon.
Okay.
That is a small business issue, by the way.
I see.
But we'll come back to that. That's
MondayMemo.net. You can also don't forget to order his weekly letter too. By the way, folks, it's outstanding. Wally, you were talking about your friend who's your little printer who's decided to add. Now they haven't based their whole strategy on hot type. They just added hot type as an option, right?
That's true. Now there's two pieces to this. One is that they are known in town. Their niche overall is quality. So they do jobs that other people don't want to tackle. They do some of the architectural printing and so forth on that side, which they do with a whole different kind of technology.
Mm-hmm.
So adding this doesn't make them do anything different. It makes them better at what they already do well,
mm-hmm.
as far as their customers are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But it opens up a different market. This is the market for high-quality invitations, primarily. This is the corporate guy who's having the big thing out here at the at PPD to announce an event that wants something that looks and feels fancier.
This gives him a different product from just the regular image coming off of a regular press.
Right. It's amazing. Now, let me give you a couple other places where this is happening. Out there in the world of the Home Depots, another box that I love a lot, what you find is a lot of small hardware stores that are doing an excellent job mm-hmm. of niching in particular areas. The one that I go to here, Stevens Hardware, is particularly good because what they have is all of the hardware for older homes.
So they found a niche in that area.
They're in that area. If you want a key for that old door in your 1920 bungalow, that's the place to go. Not only do they know that they have the key, they know about old houses, they know about what's been going on in town for years,
mm-hmm.
and they can give you something that the Home Depot or the Lowe's just simply can't do. They don't have the people for it, and they don't have the interest, and their model won't let them do it.
Let me throw out a statistic that I think you'll appreciate along these lines, using the little companies versus the big box companies. If you add 100% of the sales volume, now I'm talking office supply type of industry. If you add 100% of all the business that all of the big box companies in that genre do a year,
right?
It's only 25% of the total market.
Yep.
Think about that, folks. That means 75% of the total opportunity in the office supply business, for example. I just happen to know that number is available to easily to small companies.
Similar numbers come out of the hardware business.
I'm not surprised.
And part of the reason is that they simply can't take over. Now, another interesting thing that's happening in this for the guys on the smaller side is that the big guys are discovering that there's only so far you can push the size of the model.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart's been the one out front in this, and they've been, you know, they went from the center to the big center to the super center, that, you know, that looks like the state of Rhode Island by the time you add the parking onto
mm-hmm.
it. And now it's so big that they're finding they're losing customers. Because people are saying, I don't want that hassle. You know, I don't
right.
want to wander through 18 acres of aisles. I don't want to walk across, you know, a mile of parking lot to get in. I'll just go down the block. So that niche sometimes is not just the particular thing that you offer, but it's the convenience that mm-hmm. you can add. On the break, we were talking about steakhouses and the big chain things. And I was saying that I don't like going to some of these particular large chains because I don't particularly like a lot of salt on my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the people back behind the wall there sometimes aren't the best chefs in the world and can't fix it if I ask them.
But here's the thing,
what?
Though.
And then yeah, go ahead.
And then the difference between that and the steakhouse that's run by the small steakhouse, the local company, the difference is you could probably get that chain steakhouse when you talk to your waiter or waitress, you could say, would you please not put so much salt on, and you could get that done. But if you're a regular at your local steakhouse, The waitress will say, yes, sir, Mr. Buck, and you still want no salt this time.
Yeah, let me
and
say
so you, and so you, the thing is when you decide you need a steak, you imagine sitting at that table and that waitress, that same person, or maybe even the owner walking up and remembering that this is how you want your steak. And that's a niche, folks, pure and simple. And most of us will pay extra money for that kind of an image. What we want. Yeah. Hold on to that thought. Carlos Santana is going to take us out. 10 till. We'll be right back with Wally Bach. We're back at 7 till. Wally Bach is our guest. Wally, remind us of the name of the article, this week's Money Memo.
Well, this week, you mean the one from yesterday?
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday is, can you say role model, boys and girls?
What's it about?
It's about Fred Rogers.
All right.
Last week and who had a big effect on a lot of us, not just our kids.
I have his memo here, folks, March 3rd, 2003. Can you say role model, boys and girls? I just haven't read it yet, but it's always good. Whatever Wally has to say, and there's some very interesting things. He especially has an important little section in there called "I'm not making this up. I can't make this up." So it's that's always pretty funny. So check that out when you get a chance. Subscribe to Wally's free newsletter, which comes every Monday, called Monday Memo, and that's mondaymemo.net. You can also find out more about Wally and the different things that he does. He'll come to your organization, he'll come to your community, and talk to you about the digital age. He is the digital age storyteller. You can find out more about him there. You do a lot of work with Chambers of Commerce, too, don't you, Wally?
Starting to again, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they're starting to do events, big events, because the companies aren't doing it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Wally, let's wrap up our talk on our visit on niches. Small business owners, we've got to get in the right frame of mind, though, about creating and filling these niches, don't we?
Yeah, you do. I think there's three components to it. Number one is you got to be looking for the opportunity. It's not going to roll over.
Right.
You've got to be out there turning the rocks over to see what's underneath. The second thing is that when you see it, you've got to remember that where you compete, just because you're small doesn't automatically make you better. One of the things that, that the big box companies in office supplies found when they went into towns around the country is that they were able to compete on service, which is a truly sad thing to say, because it's hard for a big company like that to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But just doing the greeters and stuff helped them do it. The third thing is that if you're going to beat Goliath, you don't beat Goliath by acting like Goliath. You beat Goliath by doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go in there and compete on price, you can do it, but you'll get stomped. So what you do is you find something else. You were talking about the steakhouse thing, and you were talking about the experience. You go for that experience. You've heard over and over again about find a need and fill it. What I tell my clients again and again is find a want and fill it. Find something that people really want. Make that experience rich, because every time you make that experience richer, you make your business stronger.
Well, and the good news for small business owners is most humans will split a penny into a halfpenny for the things that they need in terms of finding. I mean they'll drive across town to save 2 cents on a gallon of gas because they need a gallon of gas. But if you sell them what they want, they're not going to split hairs with you on that. Especially if you can give them, if you can really niche it up and you can really customize it for what they want.
Well, and if you can do it for them. That's the advantage a lot of times that, that the smaller guys got, is that ability to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And that, that ability, when I walk into Stevens Hardware, he knows what kind of house I live in. And he knows what kind of locks we've got. And he knows what kind of problems there are in a neighborhood that we might be coming for help with.
Have you ever walked into a business and a new person starts waiting on you and you're sort of letting them help you and all of a sudden somebody walks up who knows you and they say, no, John, he doesn't have that kind of a, this is what he needs over here. And you sort of feel like you've been adopted, like, you know, you've just been saved. You ever had that to happen
before?
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool. Only a small business can do that.
That's right.
Only in a small business will you find that. And you need to create that kind of a feeling with your customers.
You're looking for what matters to them, and there's niches every place. There's that niche in printing we talked about. We talked about a niche in steakhouses that's out there. There's a niche for farmers in our organic food right now,
mm-hmm.
because there are people who want that and want some of the special stuff that goes with it. And what you see again and again and again is that when the big guys take over part of the land, they leave some of the rest of it.
That's right.
And
they can't cover it all, can they?
Not only can they not cover it all, they very often don't cover the most profitable parts.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that I know that have done very well in their life have done it by starting small businesses that have they built niches around. They've taken the money and built the house and sent the kids to school and done all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done it by doing the big corporate routes. They haven't done it by being the grand star someplace.
Right.
By owning the kitchen cabinet company or the tile company or a really good barber shop and parlaying that into some other things.
Wally, well said and well done. Thank you for today. I appreciate it very much. We'll see you next time.
Indeed. Thank you, Jim.
Wally Bach, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What's the Big Idea? You can find that at MondayMemo.net. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, all you niche fillers out there. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.